Drex. Drex on KGO 810.
I think the choice they made to, you know, to utilize the taxpayers' dollars to, you know, globally chase down a couple of teacup Yorkies.
Yeah, right.
And give them 50 hours to live. I realized the badness of my ways.
Yeah, right, sure.
So
I would hope so.
I was kind of repenting.
It seems like one guy in Australia made a big deal out of this.
Yeah.
Barnaby Joyce is the guy's name.
Barnaby Jones.
Yeah.
He looks somehow like inbred with a tomato.
Oh my God, Johnny Depp is having a rough week. He's getting divorced. Amber Heard has had enough. She's asking for spousal support, and he's trying to get out of paying it. They've only been married for 15 months. They got married in February of 2015. What's this all about? They filed for divorce. It was just 3 days after Johnny's mother died. They got hitched last February. Spousal support. They didn't have a prenup. He's 52. She's 30. Yeah, you have to wonder if it had anything to do with the dog thing. Broke-ass Stewart is in the studio, everybody.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on with Johnny Depp.
I don't know. He and I don't talk anymore, so I don't know.
You don't know. You remember that? Do you remember hearing that weird apology that he had to make for smuggling the dogs into Australia?
No, I know nothing about that.
Oh, well, first of all, he says it's an island. So him and his wife had to apologize because they took their Yorkshire Terriers into Australia. And, you know, when you take a dog into any other country, they have to be quarantined for a few weeks. Apparently, they thought that those laws didn't apply to them. So they had to do a PSA.
It's a wonderful island with a treasure trove of unique plants, animals, and people.
It has to be protected.
Australia is free of many pests and diseases that are commonplace around the world. That is why Australia has to have such strong biosecurity laws.
And Australians are just as unique, both warm and direct. When you disrespect Australian law, they will tell you firmly.
I am truly sorry that Pistol and Boo were not declared. Protecting Australia is important.
Declare everything when you enter Australia.
Then they got their dogs back and they were allowed to leave.
That was a real thing that just happened? We just talked about that? That's amazing.
It's old, but the divorce is today. Yes.
Gotcha.
But you got to think it had something to do with those dogs.
Yeah, you know, dogs are important people, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, they are. This is the first time we've met, Broke-Ass Stewart.
So
should I call you Broke-Ass Stewart? Do I just call you Stewart?
You can call me whatever you would like. Wait,
Broke-Ass?
Don't call me late for dinner.
All right.
Oh,
right on.
Hey-o.
One thing I love about you already is, and that I didn't know this, I found out that you ran for mayor.
I did.
Lynn Sloan voted for you.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks for voting.
Hi, Stuart.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm proud of voting for you.
Thank you. To be honest, I'm glad I didn't win. But, I always say running for mayor was the smartest dumb thing I've ever done in my life.
Well, how was that? Did you do it seriously? Like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel wants to run for vice president, of course. That's how Howard Stern wanted to run for president. But that was all tongue-in-cheek.
Well, people would say, are you running for real, or are you joking? And right. I would say yes.
That's the answer.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was beautiful political street theater. Mm-hmm. I meant everything I said. I cared about all the things I talked about, but I didn't have any intentions of winning.
How many votes did you get?
Almost 20,000.
Really?
Yeah,
not insignificant.
No.
Right,
for a guy who goes by Broke Ass Stewart. Yeah, it's crazy.
So your name was your real name on the ballot.
Yeah, because actually, what's funny, the reason that is because either when Sister Boom Boom ran for mayor. Or when Jello Biafra ran for mayor, one of them, they're like, all right, enough of this. We have to have real names now. Because people with amazing names like that had run before.
I'd like to see Broke-Ass Stewart on a ballot.
That would be amazing.
That would be fun.
That would be amazing.
So why do you say that you're glad that you didn't become mayor?
Are you kidding me? This city is a disaster right now. But also, a lot of that has to do with the current mayor. But, you know, things are crazy here. But, I mean, like. For me, it was like a chance to speak truth to power and to say things that needed to be said. And, you know, I'm much better, you know, on the sidelines, you know, talking smack than I am actually like legislating. You know, I like to be a voice of dissent and I'm trying to think of words that aren't bad words, of stirring things up, you know, more than anything. So then I because when you have to legislate, it's a different thing.
It's interesting that you used it's a disaster because people, you know, after coming from Chicago for 15 years, I've been here for a year and a half. I started my career here in San Francisco and kind of went around the country doing the radio thing. But people always ask me, describe San Francisco in a couple words. And I would say beautiful disaster.
Yeah, that's exactly
beautiful
it.
Disaster.
I mean, we're in the middle of a class war right now. It's awful. Cutty out there.
It's really bad. Let's talk about that. So,
sure.
So, yeah, what are your thoughts on the gentrification? Because, you know, I just read a story. This just came out Monday, this Rentberry thing. Did you hear about Rentberry?
Oh, yeah, it's absurd. Those people need to be flogged.
Right, but what can we do about it? Now, let me tell everybody what Rentberry is. So Rentberry will be an app where you sign up. So for $25, they'll run your credit. They'll check you out. They'll do the background search. And then you're qualified to go on their site. By the way, this is a Kickstarter campaign. We'll see if it gets off the ground. But then the tenant will list their property, their rental property, on Rentberry. And then you will bid. And only the tenant, or I'm sorry, the owner, only the landlord will see what the tenants are bidding. All right. So it's going to be insane.
I don't think that rentership should be like Fight Club. You know, like
I think it's a bad idea.
And it's a very bad idea.
But yet I have to say this, it's capitalism and I don't know how you can stop Rentberry.
Well, with regulations. I mean, here's the thing. Like we chose a long time ago as a society to have a middle class. That if you just let capitalism do what capitalism does, there wouldn't be a middle class. But through things like unions and regulation and things like that, we created a space for people to be in between. Because unchecked capitalism creates nothing but rich, very rich people and a small amount of them and a lot of poor people. So what we do by regulating things is make things that regular people like you and I can survive in. And so we need to have a mayor who has the political will to put his foot down and stand up to these companies that just run through the city. Like you see all over this country, all over the world, there's pushback against things like Uber. There's pushback against things like Airbnb that are running free without regulation in this city. Airbnb gave enough money that they actually wrote the law that regulates them here in San Francisco.
Yeah, only a few cities like Austin have had the balls to say no.
Exactly.
Yeah. The Rentberry thing, again, I mean, I just can't imagine. So you'll have an apartment that normally would go for $3,500 or something. I think the mean, we're number one in a bad way. We are the most expensive place in America to rent a two-bedroom apartment, and the average mean is $3,500. But if you're on Rentberry and the tenant is running it for the landlord is running it for $3,500, people start bidding on it. You know, somebody who's very wealthy is going to say, you know what, I just want it because it's across from the office. I'll pay $8,000 a month, and you're screwed.
Yeah, it's absurd.
And I just think it's horrific.
Yeah. Like I said, we need to regulate things. Rent control is a good thing. I think that we need to make a point of actually like building more affordable housing, specifically affordable housing. We need to put – right now it's 12%. Is any new building – you know, that has over, I think, 6 units,
right.
Has to be like 12% affordable housing.
Oh, we're out of space. There's nowhere else to build.
There are places. There's a lot of places in the city that are city-owned property that we could build on.
Oh, you know? Okay.
But we'd have to build up, which I'm cool with. But as long as like we need like 50% affordable housing from there.
I'll open up the lines if you're outside the Bay. It's 415-808-0810. And by the way, if you are listening from anywhere else, watch out. Because just like Airbnb proliferated and Uber did, there's no reason to believe that Rentberry won't do the same thing. Yeah.
Screw those guys.
Where you'll be bidding on a place to live. Oh, my God. It's just the worst. And this poll that recently came out that said one-third of all people who live in the Bay would like to get out of here just because of the cost. Not that people don't love it here. I think everybody loves living here. It's the most beautiful city in America, in my opinion. But they can't afford it.
Yeah. We're in a weird place where, I mean, the city has been home to so many social movements from, I mean, this was a huge labor city. Like a lot of the labor came out of the city from the longshoremen.
Right.
One of the most powerful longshoremen unions in the world was here in San Francisco. From the Beats to jazz era San Francisco to the hippies to even Burning Man. So many amazing things have come out of here. And there's no space for that anymore because you have to be a millionaire to be here or you have to be lucky enough to have rent control like I do. And if I got evicted, I couldn't be here anymore. I would have to go to I don't even know where.
I know. Everybody in your shoes who has rent control, they're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. All right. 415-808-0810, the state of San Francisco and the state of the Bay Area. You can call and comment. We'll take your calls. Broke-ass Stuart. Yes, Stuart. Is it Schuffman?
Yeah, you got it right.
Look at me. All right. Stuart Schuffman ran against Ed Lee. We'll talk about some of his other proposals, some of his legacy projects that I'm not a fan of. Coming up.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
The Cure playing tonight at the Shoreline Amphitheater. Broke-ass Stuart is my guest.
I wish I was at the Cure right now.
You and I both. We were just talking about this. You know, the 80s Cure. Oh, my God. What is there not to love about the Cure?
So good.
All those great artists. We're talking about Duran Duran and The Fix and...
The Smiths.
Yes. Yes. Had a great time. All right. During the break, we were talking about the tech companies, and mm-hmm. So you have an idea for a T-shirt.
Oh, not an idea. I have a brand new shirt. We put out new shirts all the time on my site. My site's brokeassstewart.com. And in the store, we have this, John Belushi college sweatshirt, In San Francisco, everybody walks around in their the shirts for the tech companies they work for. So I was like, we should just put out a generic tech shirt. So we just have a shirt that says tech company on it, which is just really, you have to see it. I promise it's funny.
You'll have to send me one.
Yes, it's good.
I'll make sure that I wear it. Well, and then when we were crossing over today when I was changing shifts from Chip Franklin, he was doing this story about Twitter. He's like, Drex, do you know that Twitter doesn't make any money? I said, yeah. I know that. I said, if you drive around San Francisco and look at all of these tech companies, I bet you 7 out of 10 aren't making any money.
Probably like 9 out of 10, honestly. You got to think about it. It's so weird when you have such a shift with traditional businesses right now that are not able to compete with other businesses that don't have to make money. When you're getting infusions of millions and billions of dollars as a tech company.
From all these hedge funds.
Yeah. It's weird that, you don't have to make money.
Or VCs, you don't have to make profit. Whatever the case
is. So then what do you do if you're a traditional company? How do you compete with that? It's bizarre.
But they're all paper tigers
Exactly.
And here comes Boom Bust.
Right. Which is the bust seems like it's on its way.
It does feel that way. Now, I was not here for Boom Bust before. What was that like?
I was in Santa Cruz for college at the time,
okay.
I wasn't exactly here. But people who were here said it was crazy.
It would be crazy because if all the tech companies would pick up and move to, I said this word earlier, Austin.
Right.
This place is in a lot of trouble.
Well, there's about 50 or 60,000 people who've moved here in the past 4 or 5 years. That's a lot of people. And those are almost all for tech jobs. So it would put less stress on the local economy, especially with the housing market. That's for sure. Because, it would have regular people wouldn't have to be competing against 25-year-olds who make $100,000 a year.
Right. I know that a lot of people listening are saying, Drex, Boom Bust would be just fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
I'm okay with it, too.
Okay. One of the legacy projects that Mayor Ed Lee is working on is the Warriors Arena to be parked down there beside AT&T.
It's ridiculous.
What say you?
It's ridiculous. First of all, it's like across the street from a children's hospital. So imagine that the Warriors game's getting out the same time as the Giants game's getting out, and there's a major emergency. How is that ambulance going to get to the hospital? And also, it's just going to be traffic bad regardless. And the Warriors have been in Oakland for how long now? Let Oakland keep them.
Oakland gets the short end of the stick. You know, the Raiders beat them around. The Warriors are playing games with them. Yeah, it's ugly. And you're right. And I'm friends with Sam Singer. And, of course, Sam will come on here and sing about that.
Of course.
But I happen to agree with him. And one of the things that bothered me the most about this entire development was go ahead and build it, but... build it down there further.
Oh, yeah.
Further down. It's not like we don't have the land. Just move it. Move the damn thing.
It should not be across from a children's hospital.
No, nor should it be right beside AT&T. Because when all of this chaos started about a year ago, the story went coming out of City Hall that, don't worry, the conflict dates will be very rare. Well, look what's happening now. There are conflict dates. Mm-hmm. They're happening all over the place.
Or it's like every year when it's Fleet Week here in San Francisco, you have Fleet Week. And you have
Super Bowl 50.
Yeah, Hardly Strictly Bluegrass and all these things. And the entire city is one giant traffic jam. It's going to happen all the time if you have two stadiums right next to each other.
No, it's a bad scene.
Absolutely.
I mean, and anybody who does the commute, I know if you're listening outside of the Bay Area, if you're in San Jose or wherever you're at, Marin, you're saying, oh, thank God, I don't have to deal with the Drex, but why do you dwell on it? But for the million people that come into San Francisco every day, where we are, my girlfriend works across the street and she does 9 to 5. So what is it, a mile to get to the bridge? Sometimes it'll take her an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just, and that's without a conflict. That's just a Giants game.
Yeah, I would just phone it in. You know what? I'm going to a bar, park my car, forget about it. I'm staying in my car tonight.
It could be crazy at night at 10 o'clock when I get off.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's some of the worst traffic in the country, and it's with the rise. Well, because that combined with, you know, you have 50 or 60,000 new people in the city, combined with all these Uber and Lyft drivers that come from all over. I mean, I've met Uber drivers and Lyft drivers who come up from, like, L.A. for the weekend, you know? Or a lot of times you get people coming from Stockton,
really?
Modesto. Oh, yeah.
Well, I would think they would have stopped that after they cut their pay.
Well, who knows? That goes back to, you know what's really interesting? I read some places that the Teamsters are trying to go in and unionize the Uber drivers, and I'm excited for that.
Uber drivers, 808-0810. We won't. You can use a fake name. 808810. Yeah, I'm interested. You know, I've talked to a couple of these guys on there, and some of them feel like they've gotten the shaft.
Sure, sure. I mean, there's here's the thing. You got to realize it's an industry where all these people are driving and making a lot of money for companies that are taking that money and investing in driverless technology.
Right.
So they're working themselves out of a job.
For sure.
So,
and then you'll have nothing to fall back
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Because you'll have no experience.
And here's the thing. My mom drives for Uber and Lyft because she's a 62-year-old lady and no one's going to hire for her for anything else. That's just the breaks, you know? So she makes, you know, ends meet by driving for Uber and Lyft. And it's really good for that. And as a consumer, it's good. Like, I was here for many years before that existed. And if it rained, you could not get a cab. Just that. I showed up an hour and a half late to my own 30th birthday.
Right, right, right. It's hard. It's very hard to get a cab here. It's not like Chicago.
But it goes back to regulation. We need to regulate these companies. It's not the Wild West. They need to be able to play well with others. They can't just come and think, break all our toys and be like, I'm going home.
Well, suggestion to Uber drivers, go places where there aren't other Uber drivers. I have to tell you, so I went home to Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Where they have Uber buggy drivers?
Yes. Yes, they should have Uber buggy drivers. But so I opened the app to see if I could find one. First time I opened it, couldn't find one. And then I did a couple days later, and there was one, but they were 20 minutes away. And I'm thinking to myself, man, because there's a lot of elderly people there, you know, and shut-ins and people who can't drive, whatever the case may be. I'm thinking to myself, now, if I were back here and I was an Uber driver, I'd do great because nobody's doing it there.
Yeah.
You know, pick any smaller city USA.
You got to get the shut-ins and the old ladies to have the app, though, is the problem. There's the digital divide.
Oh, right. Yeah. That
when the old ladies who like still keep their money in their mattress kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it's not going to work on their windmill in Lancaster. All right, I got to take a break and we'll be back. Yeah, we're listening, and you are listening to the Drex Radio Show with Broke-Ass Stewart, and we'll continue the... I want to talk about you were blogging about Dolores Park and
sure,
that fiasco.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show.
On KGO 810.
All the Cure, all the time, since we can't be at the shoreline. All right, let's go to Connie. Oh, Broke-Ass Stewart is my guest. And we'll talk to... We were talking about Uber. Uber, Uber, Uber. Uber, Uber. Connie in Oak Grove, good evening. You're on the Drex Radio Show on KGO.
Hi, how are you, Drex?
I'm doing well, thank you. So you're a driver, and you heard our conversation. What do you think?
Okay, the only thing that I'm saying is that my insurance company told me that if I let them know that I'm driving for Uber, they will cancel me immediately. What I did was I took the code and I sent it out to share on my Facebook page and with my contacts. Then about a week later, I've received a survey from my insurance company. And one of the questions that they asked is, are you driving for one of these rideshare companies? I'm supposed to answer them by a certain date. If I don't answer them, then I will be canceled out. I did talk to one of the Uber representatives concerning the insurance company thing, and they say that when you're driving for Uber, and that's by driving, if you have a call Uber has said, okay, pick up this rider, then you're covered by Uber during the time that you're driving to that person, as well as when you have the person in your car until that person is out of your car, then you're covered by them for, I think they have $1 million.
$1 million, right. So you have to actually be in the act of picking someone up or dropping them off. And then any other time you're on your own.
Right.
Yeah, so.
But my insurance company says they're not going to insure me if I say that I'm driving.
Right? I know. It puts you in a very precarious situation because, if they know the app, how would they know the app's on, though? How would they know you would just say, well, I was going to the grocery store?
Well, I think the reason that, my insurance company, if they were to check records, I'm sure that they could find out that the app was on. But
that would have to be if Uber was to open up their records or not.
Well, right. And now there's a city license. Lynn Sloan, my producer. Lynn, tell everybody what you have to go through. I mean, you're not driving anymore.
I'm not. But as of April 30th, if you drove for a rideshare service, you had in the city of San Francisco, you had to get a business license. Now, that doesn't sound so bad, except it's about $250 roughly. However, if you've been driving for a rideshare for more than a short time, they assess you back taxes. So you go to pay $250 and you're finding out you're paying hundreds.
Or a $500 or a $1,000. Yeah, you owe.
Exactly.
Yikes. Did you have to put up with that, Connie?
I at this point, they're still in the investigative stages. So I have not had to at this point, but it seems as if it might be coming up.
Right. And did you ask your insurance company how much more it would be if you were to, maybe what you could do is call somebody else, a different insurance company and say, look, I'm a rideshare person. How much is a premium? Unless they share records.
Go ahead, Lynn. Lyft and Uber have both come to terms with Farmers Insurance, and I think there may be one other carrier that has an instrument for rideshare drivers.
Okay, well, I hope that helps you. Farmers, so check it out. I know my insurance company, I don't have anything to do with any of this, and they sent me a notice, thou shalt not share rideshare.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think with the registration in the city of San Francisco process, the insurance companies and the city are going to end up working together to make sure that there aren't uninsured or improperly insured rideshare drivers.
Well, good for farmers. So let's give them a free commercial. I mean, there's money to be made on this, so why not?
Yep.
Yeah, so let farmers make the money. All right, back to broke-ass Stuart. What do you want to talk about, Dolores Park?
Sure. Actually, before we go into that, I've got a really cool show coming up
on
the 2nd of June. It's called Hella Single, and it's a comedy show and singles mixer.
Nice.
And it's free. Except, two drink minimum. It's at Cobb's on June 2nd. And you can find out about it, just Google Hella Single. And it's going to be amazing because, you drink, you get loose, you watch some comedy, and then you mix it up with people.
Doesn't get any better than that.
It's going to be amazing. But we can talk about Dolores Park if you'd like.
Well, I was just looking at one of your posts. You say it's a microcosm of San Francisco.
Yeah, it's a bunch,
the fiasco of it.
That's an absolute fiasco. So what happened was Rec and Parks, they came out a couple of days ago. They said, now we're starting the system where people can reserve and rent swaths of Dolores Park. And that just sets up a terrible system rich people.
That's bad.
Calling dibs on things,
Yes.
When it's public space. By definition, it should be public.
Yes.
And so anyways, after all the backlash, they repealed it, a day later or whatever. But part of me thinks it was also like a diversionary tactic of the mayor's office. Because they're getting so much heat right now, with Chief Sir stepping down and all the mess with the police department. I think it was a concerted effort of the mayor's office to be like, well, let's deflect some of this onto something a little less intense and keep people's attention off the real things. Not that public space isn't important, but like police brutality is a little more.
Sounds like something he'd do.
It does, doesn't it?
When I first got here, I thought that, I'd be a supporter, but as the 2 years have flown by, something seems sketchy. I mean, one of the things that really got me was during the Super Bowl. Well, and dealing with Super Bowl City, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I helped organize
fight
a big
me
protest
on
that.
Yeah, yeah. But then when I saw I know that we have this great ordinance where you're not allowed to put up billboards, which is a great idea. But then I saw that huge cell phone provider on the entire side of the building, and I said, I bet that's against the law. Sure enough, it was, and it had to be taken down. I'm glad it was.
Oh, absolutely.
But that, you know, that smells to high hell because somebody had to know, or they were hoping. It's like, let's just try it and see if we can get away with it.
Yeah, let's see if we can grease the wheels enough.
Right.
Yeah, I teamed up with the Coalition of Homelessness, and we did a big few thousand person protest down. My issue wasn't the Super Bowl. That's going to happen regardless. My issue was the way they treated homeless people for the Super Bowl.
Right.
Mayor Lee came out and said, hey, homeless people, you got to leave downtown. Didn't say where they're going to go, how they're going to do it, whatever. And this is during El Nino. And like it was a terrible situation.
It became a national story.
Yeah. Well, because of myself and the Coalition of Homelessness putting pressure on them and being like reaching out to all the press around the world, around the country, being like, hey, this is messed up. This is San Francisco. San Francisco values are not treating people like they're chattel. You know, and so we embarrassed the mayor. It was important to do because, you know, the people on the streets, 71% of them come from San Francisco addresses before they were on the street. These are our neighbors. And we need to treat them like people and do the best we can to get them off the street.
That's sad.
Yeah.
I never heard that stat before.
It came out last year in the homelessness count.
Oh, boy. Well, that's sad. It's just depressing. Yeah.
It is. So
70%
anyways,
of the homeless people used to have apartments.
Totally. They've been evicted or whatever else, you know?
Yeah. Well, where else are you supposed to go? Wow. That just throws me for a loop, and I don't know what the answer is. And let me ask you this, Brokaw Stewart. So, and yesterday we just declared once again that we're a sanctuary city. How do you feel about that? Because that does not go over well with the rest of the United States or Mr. Trump.
Right. Well, the thing with that. Well, first of all, screw Donald Trump. He's a bigot and a lot of other things. And the thing that drives me crazy is people who don't pay attention, like, well, I like him because he says what he thinks. So does your aunt when she drinks too much. You know, like that doesn't mean that you should be president, you know? But, you know, the sanctuary city, I believe in 100% in the sense that, like, it's set up to keep people who come here and work here, who pay their taxes here. I've worked in kitchens for years. All those dudes pay taxes, you know? They pay their taxes here, but they should be able to be like, hey, if they see a crime happen, they should be able to report it without them having to worry about being deported.
Exactly.
That's what a sanctuary city is.
Well, and see, because the right wing, the extreme right wing, doesn't tell you that part of the story.
Of course.
Yeah. We're protecting criminals.
They're too busy trying to scare poor white people that they're getting their jobs taken by immigrants. The smartest thing that rich white people ever did was convince poor white people they got the same problems. You know, and the thing is, it's not true. They've been playing. If all poor people realized how much power we had, if we got together collectively, and realize how rich people really were, it would be a different story.
You know, one of the things that amazes me, Stewart, is why, and I think it's eventually going to happen, you know, Oakland becoming the next Brooklyn. But I keep hearing that, but yet I don't see it happening fast enough. I know that people are buying up properties. Matter of fact, I was listening to Brian Copeland today, and he was doing a great segment about how real estate, people coming in here from foreign countries, not to pick on China, to use Brian Copeland's words, not to pick on China, but these foreign nationals coming in here, buying places, charging rent through the roof, or just ghosting the house.
Yeah, they just, you know, yeah. Yep. They either don't live there. They call them safety deposit boxes in the sky. It was these luxury condos where they buy the place and then they just keep it as an asset. You know, and something that appreciates, like a piece of art.
Also, owning property in the States can help with citizenship.
Yep.
If you're offshore.
But the alternative is what happens is because Airbnb isn't being properly regulated, people will just buy up this property and then turn it into an Airbnb hotel.
Yes, and break the ordinance,
right,
which
right.
is on the books. It said and how enforced
I think
is it?
Something like 70% of people using Airbnb are doing it illegally.
Right, because who's going to check all of those things?
And here's the thing, like people always, like, they bag on me, they're like, oh, you hate tech, you hate tech. No, my problem, I don't hate technology. I don't hate tech companies. I hate the culture around tech that says, I'm going to break all the rules, and I don't care about workers' rights. I don't care about people's rights. All I want to do is make money and screw everybody else.
Sure, if you think about all the tech companies, you were saying, oh, we were saying 70, 80, 90% of them are paper tigers. But there is enough out there that are making billions of dollars who could certainly contribute to the society that is San Francisco and the Bay Area.
Absolutely.
And help things out. There's so many ways to do it. Yes. I mean, you know, just think of the billions of dollars out there that could actually set up a place for the homeless.
There are over, get this, there are over 100,000 millionaires in San Francisco, right? Yet.
Didn't know that.
Yet, at Christmas time, Walgreens is still having toy drives for kids who can't afford, who parents who can't afford toys for their kids for Christmas.
That's sad. All right, let's take a break and we'll be back. All right, on a lighter note, we'll get to it, some of it. And we'll talk about Trump. I know that you have some thoughts on him.
Sure.
Oh, I have it. I have it. This is great. Jimmy Kimmel played clips of Donald last night at half speed. Sounds like he's totally wasted. It's a lot of fun. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Listen and engage. The Drex Radio Show, weeknights 7 to 10 on KGOA 10.
What's Thursday? I still care about you. One more day until the Memorial Day weekend. Now let's hope everybody got the hell out of Dodge today. Mm-hmm. So that we won't have the traffic nightmare tomorrow.
All right. Good luck with that.
Yeah. My guest is Broke-Ass Stewart. And, I wanted to play this for you because this is funny. So Donald Trump actually made an appearance on Kimmel last night, but Kimmel still took the opportunity to make fun of him. He played clips of Donald Trump at half speed, and he sounds like he's not half-baked, I think, all the way.
Okay. I looked, you know, Hillary Clinton has somebody. Did you ever hear Pocahontas?
Pocahontas slipping some ayahuasca. That's fun, right? Here's another one. This is Slow Down Donald on Bernie Sanders.
Bernie is not going to be able to do it. Bernie can't with the superdelegates and all. Bernie's not going to be able to do it. But I got to give him credit. Crazy Bernie's out there trying. He's trying hard.
Brought to you by Trump Vodka. That's great. If you slowed him down anymore, he'd be Ben Carson.
That's funny. But, you know, on a serious note, the thing about Donald Trump is he's never had a drink in his life. He doesn't drink.
Really?
Maybe that's part of the problem.
He's never had a drink in his life?
Nope.
Really?
Nope. Non-drinker.
Wow.
Non-smoker. Non-drug doer.
No blow? That guy's all about the 80s, right?
Yeah, no blow. No.
That's crazy.
Of course, he could be lying about the blow.
I mean, he's lying about everything else.
But if you did blow, you'd have to be a drinker,
right,
too.
He lies about everything else, with so the other. Know.
Right, yeah.
I'm flabbergasted, like, by my countrymen and countrywomen. Like, I like to think that Americans are smarter than that, and apparently they're not.
They're not. Broke-Ass Stewart, let me tell you something. Let's go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where I just spent a week. All right? And don't correct me. It's Lancaster, California. It's Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Save your tweets, okay? It's Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Anyway, I saw the future, and it's white. And they're mad.
It's white and angry.
And they're very, yes, they're very angry. And that man, unfortunately, I do believe is going to become the president.
I just puked a little bit in my mouth.
I know.
It's, you know, that's
I don't know what to tell you.
Like the Republican Party did this. They've been feeding the hate machine for so long. They created this monster and they can't control it. It's like Frankenstein's monster. And they've been feeding this ugly, nasty, hateful rhetoric for so long, and now this is what we have. And he is absurd. He flip-flops in literally everything he says, and he's a liar.
Well, there's no policy,
right? There's no policy. But he literally, like, even when it's not slow down, he sounds like the drunk guy at the bar. He's like, I build the best walls, man. You ever see my walls are the best. He's like the guy who's obnoxious at the bar who ends up puking in his shoes.
Well, yeah, the language is of a seventh grader.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. So,
but you know, if you're a Democrat, it's just it's a hot mess. Also, Bernie won't back down. Hillary has her email scandal that will not go away. The Justice Department just came after again yesterday, and then there's all kinds of conspiracy theories going on.
I'm a big Bernie supporter myself.
I like Bernie too, but that's not going to play to the rest of the country, because the rest of the country is still pissed. They're pissed off about Obama giving handouts, in their opinion.
Right.
Yes.
But like, you know, there's so many people who don't want to vote for Trump because because they don't want to vote for Hillary. Like all the independents and all like the actual
right.
smart people who are Republicans don't want to vote for Trump, but they will over Hillary. But there's a lot of polls that say they will vote for Bernie Sanders instead.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting. Yeah, I just voted. I voted for Bernie.
Yeah, me too.
Just to shake it up. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, he's not giving up. He's going to have a platform.
He has a platform. He's the only one who's put out a platform consistently.
Right. Yes. That's the, you know, you're right on about that, Stuart. Here's the man. He's probably the only man that has stuck to policy throughout his entire campaign. When I was on the fence, I remember this was probably, a couple months ago. Oh, I know. It was during the Wisconsin primary. After he won Wisconsin, I thought, I'm going to listen to in its entirety to his entire speech. So I listened to it, and he went through every single topic of policy and explained every single part of it. It was like a 45-minute speech, but he covered everything. And I thought, well, this guy, you know, he's nailed it. He's got it down. He's got a plan.
If Bernie Sanders was, this is like the JFK Richard Nixon thing. If Bernie Sanders was younger and better looking instead of an old disheveled guy,
right?
Like he would clean up because like he's sound policy. He's a smart person and he appeals to people like who actually like want a better future, because the way the system's set up now is not a future. There's no future in this like rampant like ugly capitalism. We have to take care of each other instead of just hoping that the corporations will one day trickle down to us. And that's just not how it works. And we're like the tail end of our empire. And unless we do something to right it, like the things that Bernie Sanders is trying to lay out, we're screwed.
On that note, Brocast Stewart, thank you very much. No.
Things got dark on this conversation. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. I think it's fun. It's fun to talk about the city because you've been here forever. And I love to hear people. I don't meet a lot of people that are from here. I know that a lot
I'm not
of
from
you,
here.
Okay, but you've been here for a long time.
Yeah, I've been here for a long time, yeah.
So, you know, there are so many people because of the business of doing business in the city that come from all over the world that it's nice to sit down and talk to somebody who has insights as to what's actually happening in the city. So I appreciate your time. Brocast Stewart, by the way, you're appearing at?
Cobb's Comedy Club. We're doing a show called Hella Single. You can Google Hella Single, Cobb's Comedy Club. Free tickets. It's on June 2nd. And all you gotta do is a 2-drink minimum, and it's going to be amazing. It's a comedy show / singles mixer. It's gonna be great.
Fantastic. And you are at brocaststewart.com?
Yep. And I'm on all social media platforms as Brocast Stewart.
Brocast Stewart, thank you very much. I want one of your tech company t-shirts.
Yes, yes.
I'll wear it. Cool. All right, thank you very much. We're gonna take a break and we'll be back. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.